One of the oldest federal agencies, the U.S. Mint, recently marked its 225th anniversary with the unveiling of a new $10 gold coin. I took the occasion to speak with Deputy Mint Director Rhett Jepson and Chief of Staff Elisa Bassnight in the U.S. Treasurer's Office. I asked first how many coins the Mint produced last year.
A little over 16 billion coins, and we had about 16 billion dollars. That's up from about 5 billion coins in 2009, which was a low point in the Mint in our recent history. But when it comes to the numismatic and the bullion coins, we look at total revenue. So when you look at the numismatic coins, we sold a little over $400 million worth of coins, most of that online. That makes us within the top 100 largest internet retailers in the world, and so we're very proud of that. So we have a large presence there. And then on the bullion side, we sell that through a series of authorized purchasers, and we sold a little over $2.3 billion worth of gold, silver, and platinum bullion coins last year.
And so you're a pretty big player in metals markets then, as a manufacturing organization.
We are. We buy several billion dollars worth of metal every year. That's by far our largest purchase in any year. We try to stay metals neutral, so we buy what we sell in a day as a general rule on the spot price. And so
No hedging,
exactly.
Let's talk about the workforce and workforce development, because the people that make these coins, that design them, the engravers, this is very specialized. And is everybody 75 years or older, or is this something that new people are coming into all the time?
We do have an older workforce, and that's one of the challenges we face right now is attrition. You know, 30% of the Mint will be retirement eligible in the next 3 years, and we know that the average Mint employee stays about 3 years beyond their retirement eligibility, and we've actually really started to see that pick up on the attrition. So we need to be proactive in recruiting new people to come to the Mint. You mentioned the sculptors, for example. That's one of the areas where we do have a young workforce, several young sculptors in the pipeline. But when it comes to some of the other trades, one thing that's unique about the Mint is that we're half wage grade, about 20% protection, our police force, and then the rest is GS. And so not many of the federal agencies are that way. But we're starting to see a lot of attrition on our GS and our wage grade employees. And so it's really important that we have a robust recruiting program. We really do leverage our outreach to veterans groups. We find that we've had a lot of success in that area, recruiting veterans, women veterans into our workforce. They make great employees, and so we're very proud of our efforts on that front. The other part I'd mention is that we find that the skill sets are changing a little bit. It used to be very mechanical in how we would do a lot of our packaging, but it's becoming much more automated where we're actually using robots and things like that. So the skill sets change on the packaging piece, on the lasers that we use to polish the dies. So the needs of the workforce are changing as well. And so we've needed to change our recruiting tactics a little bit to reach a broader audience.
Now, is there any private sector competitor to the Mint? I mean, there are people that make coins for, I don't know, commemorative purposes and celebrations and things, medals for races, cheap stuff. But is there anybody that does anything comparable to the Mint that is not federal?
That's a good question. We get that question quite a bit. So the answer is no, but a lot of folks like to resell our products. So when someone says something is in mint condition, that means you got it from the Mint. But I would like to also just circle back to your earlier question on the human capital, because what's really special and unique about the Mint is that we do employ so many diverse occupations. And with the changing demographics and the demands on our coins, one of the reasons as we look to the future with our 225th anniversary coming up is remembering the past and embracing the future is really looking at how we can attract and retain the younger generation to become really involved in the various capacities that we afford in terms of employment at the Mint.
And one other question I had is about your online sales. The Mint was really a pioneer in online sales in the early days of e-commerce, I remember, when they launched. And so how do you keep up with digital services and the state of the art in online retailing?
So it's a constant challenge in twofold. And so you go back, we were early on, and we were because it makes a lot of sense for us to sell online. It's very democratic because, a lot of our coin collectors want to buy first day, and it's a great way for us to make the product offering universally available to every citizen. My predecessors in running the Mint were very visionary on that front. But it has been a challenge, and as more and more people come online, we've constantly had to upgrade our services and our service provider to handle higher and higher capacities. I'll give you a case in point. We had a sell this year on some gold dimes, about $205. We had 125,000 of them. We sold them in about 15 minutes.
So you gold can, dimes?
Gold dimes, gold dimes.
So, don't put that in a parking meter.
Right. But you look at that volume, you know, I mean, we're handling volumes like Amazon at times at peak points. So we work very closely with our service providers to do the order fulfillment and to handle that peak order. So, but it's a constant challenge. And, you know, cybersecurity is what it is. So at the Mint, we not only worry about our data security, much like any other federal agency, but, you know, because we have an online web presence, we have that to worry about like any other commercial entity. And also because we're a manufacturing organization, we have vulnerabilities there that we have to be mindful of. So it's a very big issue for us.
So no thought of just outsourcing the whole thing, giving it to Amazon, putting it in the cloud and getting out of that business?
Well, I've heard some thoughts along that line. I think we have a really good mix of the way we actually use a third party for that. We contract for those services. But we've got a good mix. One thing that we're really proud about is the Mint's control of that, but also we really, on the NUMMI side, the numismatic side, the collectible side, we sell a premium product here, and we like that direct connection with our customers.
And just briefly, the 225th anniversary coin available soon, later in the spring, that sounds like quite a process to get to this point. Just give us the quick rundown on what that all took.
Oh, this is the process of getting us here today, which is actually the launch and the unveiling of the 2017 coin, is truly a testament of so many folks and good teams working together, whether it was starting with the actual idea and the design of the coin, the vetting of the design by our various commissions, the Citizens Coinage Advisory Commission and our Commission on Fine Arts, to having folks here at Maine Treasury review and vet it, to the great folks who actually produce and sculpt and engrave and take the artist design and those renderings and actually transform them into the actual dies that will then be manufactured. And so you even have to think about all the folks who develop the packaging, the concepts that go on how you're going to market this product and tell the story of such an important component to our nation, which is the story of liberty and the evolution of liberty. So being here today and seeing it all come together is truly a tremendous accomplishment for so many people. We can't take credit for all of it, but we are very privileged to have been able to oversee and lead the efforts to get us here today and what's more to come in 2017.
And is numismatic interest running high in this coin? I bet it is.
It really is. And so one of the things that we hoped with the coin was that we could reach a new audience with this. And so with this design, the actual monetary coin, the gold coin, that has a face value, that coin's the gold coin that will go on sale. But we decided to strike this design with Liberty and the Eagle in a silver metal because it would lower the price point to about $40 to $50 range, because we want it to be very accessible to the average American, and we think that we can achieve that there. The idea is that because the designs are so important and the values that we represent here, that $1,500 is a little bit too much. So in the June, July timeframe, we'll have this silver metal come out. It's just not the stored value of the metal, but it's also the imagery. And at that $50 price point, we think that that really will be accessible to a lot of Americans who have not collected coins before, but they'll find value in it in several ways.
And the only other thing I'd add on that is that this coin, in addition to the tremendous art and the design, there's a lot of new technology and innovation. And Rhett here talked about a lot of it at the unveiling, but there's going to be a lot of interest, just like we had with the baseball coin when it was the first curved coin.
Yes, indeed.
There's a lot of new technology that's in this coin as well.
Those technologies produce high relief, frosting, edge lettering, and stars that seem to float above Liberty's head. That was Rhett Jepson, Principal Deputy Director, and Elisa Bassnight, Chief of Staff at the U.S. Mint. We've got photos showing the new gold coin. Find them and a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.